Then please get it out and turn to the Gospel of John. It's the fourth Gospel in the New Testament. And as we're doing that, I just thought it'd be great to have a couple of minutes for any one-minute stories. I've heard this last week or so a number of things that people have shared with me that have really encouraged me about what God is doing in different people's lives and different situations, different ministries. We've heard a little bit about Friday Fusion. But anybody else want to come just before I get into my talk? Just be great to come and share for a minute, 1 minute story, something that God has done this week. Debbie, yeah, then you, Moira, that'd be great.
Hi, yes, yesterday was a new start of a new season for healing rooms. And finally, after many years, we're here in the city centre rather than on the outskirts in this building. So it was really exciting for us. Because we had a lot of setup, we hadn't done much publicity, but we had 5 guests who visited, and the atmosphere was just amazing, and you could see God working in their lives. And apart from the time of ministry, we had amazing chats in the coffee area. And one lady who had come with a bad hip, after she had had a coffee, she said, "You know what, all that pain in my hip is gone." So it was just really great. And, you know, it's a great place for you to bring non-Christian friends to. We're open again on the 18th of October, and we will be twice a month thereafter.
Great. Moira.
Okay. Most of you will know that I'm based during the week in St. Peter's in the city centre, and it's been challenging at times, and no doubt it will carry on being challenging. But I've learnt this week that there's going to be some leadership placed into the building on a day-to-day basis. And that leadership is going to be a gentleman named Jonathan Phillips, who some of you will know. And I'm very excited in how that's going to take us forwards. So.
Yeah, one more. One more. We'll go on 2 more of the food goes key. Just come this side, mate.
Part of this should be fairly evident in itself, because I'm standing here. So for those of you who don't know, I spent a lot of time in an electric wheelchair of late, and been really challenged by God just to say, don't come in that thing into my house, and to leave it behind and to be aware of what banner I live my life under. Is it what the medics say, or is it the promises that my Father God has spoken over me? And so I've been stepping in that, standing in that, training in that, pushing back in that. I go to the gym most days now. I started at home on a little exercise bike. I could do 5 minutes. I can now do a nearly an hour of cardio. I'm stronger, I'm fitter. I still am symptomatic when I stand, so I feel ropey standing, talking to you, but just to encourage you, whatever promises God's spoken over you, that is the banner to stand in, to take your space and to push back in his name.
Who goes rounding people up as he comes down? Phil is coming as well. I think this might be to do with Crossway, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, yeah. Just wanted to say, this kind of overlaps over a couple of weeks, really. But we talk a lot about the work we do with the lads in the football team, Crossway. And we went through a tough period at the end of last season where we consolidated 2-1. When that happens, lots of things fall out. And we've been able to build something quite, what I think is pretty good this year, with a group of lads that are working together as a team and just got good banter, good kind of ethos and stuff like that. So, yeah, good banter, good ethos and all that kind of stuff. So it's been really great. I think it was last Saturday, or maybe the Saturday before, we had a men's event on. One of the lads, he's not a Christian, but he sent me a message saying, "I'd like to attend that." And I was thinking, okay, right. And I was speaking to him on the Wednesday at training, and he was like, "Can I ask you a question?" I was like, "Yeah, of course." He goes, "Do I need to wear a suit?" And it kind of triggered something in my mind that just thought, you know what, a lot of these guys, they don't know. They don't know what church is about. They have no idea. They've grown up with sort of ideas when they were younger, and it's made them go, do you know what, I think church is this. And it's just not. and they don't know that it's not. And it was just so eye-opening. But I brought Phil up because Phil went with him to the event. I just wanted to give him a quick update if you can. Sorry, Phil.
Thanks. Thanks for that, Ugo. Yeah, so we went over the... we had a speaker from Ivy Church in Manchester at Waverton Church over out in the city. And yeah, one of the guys came along. There was supposed to be another guy, but he works at Cruise Nightclub. So he was working till about 5:30. So we never got him there. But yeah, it was an amazing morning. About 20, 25 guys listening to an ex-police officer speaking some amazing things about God. And the guy, he didn't wear a suit, who came with us. And it's just great to have conversations with him. And he loved it, and he wants to go into more, and he's encouraging other people to come as well. And I think that's the key thing. I think so often we ourselves stop inviting non-Christians to events because we have this barrier where we think, oh, it'd be cringy and it won't work. And it's just amazing to see that people are so hungry for this and they want this. And we really appreciate, if people want to pray things for Crossways, just that we keep stepping out. And people, if you guys have got things that men want to go to, we want to hear it. We want to encourage all these guys we're working with week in, week out who want to hear the gospel. So thank you. And keep praying.
So I hope that encourages you a little bit, some of the things that God is doing amongst us in different ways. I think can I make just a comment before I get into my talk about the city centre of Chester? We as a church have been in the city centre just since January, meeting here, as you know. I think it's great that healing rooms are able to be in the city centre. I think it's really significant what's happening at St. Peter's Centre. Many of you know where it is, right in the centre by the cross, the church there. John Phillips, some of you won't know John, but John has been in Chester before. He was at the Light Project, went away to train to be a vicar. He's now come back. He's going to be working under Henny, who is the vicar of St. Mark's. It's a significant change in what God is doing in the city centre, spiritually. And we need to be aware of that as a church because we are caught up in that. When we come to church on a Sunday morning, we're doing something spiritual. We're shifting atmospheres. We're moving God's kingdom. And it's really important that we carry that as a church. It's not just about meeting in the city centre because it's convenient and we found a building that works. There's something spiritual I think God is doing in Chester for breakthrough, for kingdom. So the stories that we hear, we've just heard, will continue to deepen and grow so that we'll hear more stories about people becoming Christians. Do you want to hear that? Do you want to hear more people becoming Christians? Oh, come on, you're so English. Do you want to see people being healed? We want to see these things, don't we? We're looking for kingdom breakthrough. Okay? That's what we're praying for. That's what we're giving ourselves to as a church. That's why we have a vision statement that says we are expecting great things from God and attempting great things with God. These are the great things, aren't they? There's nothing greater in the kingdom of God for somebody to become a Christian. There's nothing greater to give your life to. There's nothing greater than seeing somebody being healed and set free from emotional healing, physical healing, demonic healing. That's what we're about as a church. Yes? Great. You can get excited. I know it's Sunday. I know we're English. Most of us. If you're not English, encourage us not to be so English. I know we're not all English in the building, which is great. So, John 15. We're going through this, and we're not going to read it. You probably can't because it's so small. But we're looking at this particular part of John 15. Just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. So these are words from Jesus. Jesus is talking here, as you know. It's the night before he was betrayed. It's right at the end of his earthly life. He's in this discourse of teaching. You can read through. It starts in John 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17. Some of the most amazing chapters of John's gospel in terms of teaching. And Jesus says these words, and we're thinking about it together. What does it mean to abide as a person? How do we remain? How do we rest? How do we stay in that place? And I want to think a little bit this morning about this. The fact that we are loved as individuals. The fact that we are loved, that we are people who can abide in God's love. Here, twice, it talks about abiding in my love. Jesus saying, my love, abide in my love. He talks about abiding in God's love. That's you. It's not the person next to you, although it is. It's not the person behind you, although it is. It's you. Yes, you. You are loved this morning. Loved by someone who is completely and totally committed to you. You're loved by the King. Let me read these verses to you from Paul's letter to the Ephesians. My response is to get down on my knees before the Father, this magnificent Father who parcels out heaven and earth, and I ask him to strengthen you by his Spirit. Not a brute strength, but a glorious inner strength. That Christ will live in you as you open the door and invite him in. And I ask that him that with both feet planted firmly on love, you will be able to take in with all the followers of Jesus the extravagant dimensions of Christ's love, to reach out and experience the breadth, to test its length, to plumb its depths, to rise to the heights, to live full lives, full in the fullness of God. That's Paul writing in Ephesians 3. It's from the Message. That's my prayer for me, for you, for us, for these people that we're reaching, the guys in Crossway, the people who come into healing rooms, the guys who are living their lives who don't yet know who this God is, that this love that he has for us. We've been talking, haven't we, about how we as Christians have Christ living in us. Says, doesn't he? My response to all this is to get down on my knees. This was the scripture, this was the verses that Tim and Rosie had at their wedding. They chose Ephesians 3, and I've been thinking about it because I did the talk at their wedding, and so I was preparing for it, been thinking about it, and it's just been going round and round my heart that this is the love that Christ has for me, for you, for us, for this whole world. I don't know how much you've experienced the heart of God. To really experience it. So many of us as individuals and even as Christians, our knowledge of God's love is in our heads. It's an intellectual understanding. It's something that, yes, we read maybe from the scriptures. It's something that we might understand from reading books. But do we experience in our hearts as that love that we have for one another, so that he has for us, has that love impacted us down here? Something goes on inside me. I'm sat there on the front row watching that video. And there's an emotion going up inside of me. I don't know what goes on inside you. I come and stand here, and I could literally burst into tears with the passion that woman's got, that lady's got. What a passion for Jesus. I've met Miriam. She's amazing. She's 24 years of age, totally sold out. for God. Giving all, everything to her. Everything that she's got. I want to be like that. I want us to be like that. I want to be people who are sold out because we've experienced this love. The height, the depth, the breadth, the width. This amazing love that God has for you, for me, for our world. When we think about God's love, what I don't know what you think about, but let me give you five things to think about. And this is Mike Bickle, who I read this. Mike Bickle is, I think he's still a senior pastor of a church in Kansas. And the International House of Prayer is based there. They do 24 hours of prayer, 7 days a week. They've been doing it for 15 years as a church. And he wrote this, that when we start thinking about the love of God, we need to think about it in five dimensions. So when you think about the love of God, think about these five dimensions. First of all, think about God's love for God. Might seem a little bit odd, that. But God's love for God, and what I mean by that, and what Mike gets at, is that God is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And it's an eternal love going on amongst the three of the Trinity. The Father loves the Son, and the Son loves the Spirit, and the Spirit loves the Father, and the Father loves the Spirit, and the Son loves the Spirit, and the Son loves the Father, and the Father loves the Spirit. They are three, separate, yet also one. And there's a love that God has for himself. But out of that love that goes on in the Trinity, God then decided to love humanity. So God's love begins to go out of the Trinity and it impacts humanity. And God loves the world so much that he creates the world for the humanity to live in. And then when we start thinking about God's love and God's love for humanity, there's then humanity's love for God. So when you've experienced that love, when you've come into that love where you've responded to a verse where it says, John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him would not perish, but would have eternal life." If you've responded to that, then there's another aspect of love that's beginning to impact you and God's love. There's a response going on. And then as we respond to God, the fourth aspect is that we begin to love ourselves. Some of us don't think we should love ourselves. Some of us think that actually, you know, we're so aware of our faults and our failings that we don't love ourselves. We don't think we're lovable. Some of us have been brought up in contexts and situations and family situations where it's just really difficult to actually think that you're lovable. But it's true that you need to love yourself. You need to love yourself and the response that God has put in you. Because if God has put this value on you, then we need to value ourselves and love ourselves. And as we love ourselves, we then begin to step out to love others. We love others. John 4 talks about our love for others is an overflow of God's love for us. And so if you're thinking about the heart of God, if you're thinking about the love of God, if you want to abide in that love, then think about these five elements. The fact that God loves God, that God loves humanity, that you love God. God wants you to love yourself, and then out of that you can love others. That's what it means to abide in love. But in this passage, as you go back to John 15, what Jesus says, that actually if you are abiding in that love, you need to reveal who you actually love by what you do. So there's a connection that goes on between what you do and who you love. John 10, Jesus talking a little bit earlier, says this in verse 17. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down on my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father. So Jesus' life, the way that Jesus lived out his life in terms of his abiding in God's love was to do what God asked him to do. So Jesus goes about every aspect of his life doing what he sees the Father doing, John 5. And ultimately, the giving of his life was his ultimate sacrifice of obedience to the command of God, the Father. That's what Jesus says here in John 10. And for you and I, we've been thinking about this. If you've been around HBC for a while, we think about it in the context of the covenant triangle. The covenant that God has made for us, where from our identity, from this love of the Father flowing down to us as individuals, we get our identity, we find out who we are. But out of that, there's got to be obedience. There's got to be a willingness to do the things that God asks us to do. The flow of the arrows is the key to understanding covenant relationship. So many of us think that if we obey, it will cause the arrow to go from obedience to Father, and Father will like us a little bit more because we're being obedient. The things that we do won't change the way that God sees us. So his love for us and for me and you and for, you know, the people we mix with, our friends, our neighbors, our work colleagues, that love is consistent. It's not going to change by what you do or don't do. But once you've made that decision to do something about it, as you've received it, you get into this triangle, you get into this flow where actually you can step into doing things. Why was Jesus so able to do the things that he did? It's because he was completely and utterly secure in who he was. He knew, even to the point of death, that he could give his life up and take his life back because he knew who he was. And God wants me and you to be like, he wants us to grow in that confidence of who we are. Children of God, we keep going on about it, but I'm not going to stop going on about it until we understand it more and more. Not just here, but here. The love of God causes you and I to be called children of God. So what occupies your life? Let me read this scripture to you. Again, in John 14, Jesus said this: anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. So you can see the connection straight away, can't you? So if you love God, if you're caught up in this experience of the heart of God, if you're saying, yes, I love God, then there has to be a connection straight away with the obedience to teaching, that what Jesus said. But the verse doesn't stop there. Verse 23 of John 14. This is one of the most amazing things that Jesus said. He said a lot of amazing things, but this is one of them. He says this. He says, if anyone who loves me will obey my teaching, my Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Did you hear that? My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. So in this context of love, what Jesus is saying, actually, not just when we become Christians does the Holy Spirit come to live in us, but we get all three. We, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit living inside us through the power of the Holy Spirit. That He makes His home with us. In one of the translations, I think it's the New American Translation, he says, it talks about we will make our abode with Him. This sense of home. It connects, doesn't it, to the phrase abide. It's about resting. It's about being somewhere where you're safe and secure. One of the places where you're supposed to be, and I know it's not always the case for many of us in our upbringings, but one of the safest places that we should have is our home. Our home should be a safe place. It's where we can be ourselves. It's where we're fully accepted. That's the ideal. That's what God wants in the home. And we know it doesn't always work out, but this is what is going on. So actually, as we caught up in this love, right now, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit wants to make His home in your life. To just come and reside there. Not to go away and come back. And so many of us Christians have this worldview where we think God goes away and comes back and goes away and comes back and goes away and comes back. But He doesn't. He stays. He stays inside of you. And as you continue to love Him and obey Him and you get into that covenant triangle where you recognize more of the Father's love and you get more of your identity and you step out in your obedience, the more than that love deepens inside you and you go round and round, and it's a cycle of grace. And so your obedience then is a gift back to God. Your obedience is not something that you do to try and earn God's love. It's your obedience is what you do out of God's love. Six things that you can do to learn obedience. Is first of all, choose to trust Him. Understand that you can put your complete trust in Father God. What Andy did this morning was significant in spiritual realities, because he was putting his trust in the promises of God. The promises of God aren't what we actually see sometimes. But that's what we put our trust in. That's what is true. That's where we place our obedience. Secondly, determined to wait upon God in prayer. That's the relational dynamic that's going on. If you love God, you want to spend time with God. Not because you ought to, because you want to. Surely that's part of our relationship. Talked about this last time. Make sure you read your Bible on a regular basis. Because if you want to be a Christian who obeys the teachings of Jesus, where are you going to find the teaching of Jesus? Hello? It's in the Bible. And particularly, if you find it hard to read the Bible, commit yourself to read the Gospels. Just read the Gospels for a season. Just for a period of time, read the Gospels. And when you read it with the expectation that you will see and do what you read about. That will challenge you. Fourthly, make sure you begin to walk when the way before you isn't necessarily clear. Don't think that you've got to dot all the I's and cross all the T's before you start to step into that. Think about Abraham. Abraham did not have a clue where he was going in Genesis 15, and then he stepped out. And obedience is about that. It's about stepping off a little bit of an edge and saying, I don't quite know what's going to happen next, but I trust and I'm going to go. I'm going to step into that. And then finally, am I on five? I'm on five, okay? Five, decide beforehand that you will embrace the inner conflict. Decide beforehand that you will embrace, because I guarantee that as you begin to trust and obey and step out, you will have inner conflict. There will be fear, there will be anxiety, there will be, have I got this right? Have I got this wrong? Will God come through for me? That's just how it's going to be, folks. But if you decide beforehand that actually you're not going to let that stop you from stepping out, you'll begin to step out. I can tell you any time, even now, been a Christian for longer than I can remember now, over 30 plus years. In those moments where I have to step out, I still get the fear factor. I still have that, I've got to, am I going to, are you, shall we? Step out moment. So decide beforehand, you'll embrace that. But you won't let it stop you. You'll push through it. And then finally, leave the consequences to God. Leave the consequences to God. Don't get so trying to work it all out to see what will happen. So for me, if I'm going to step out into praying for somebody to be healed, to, you know, if somebody's ill or they're not well and I want to step out into that, I'm not going to try and get caught up with all the consequences of, well, what if they don't get healed? What if? I'm just going to leave that with God. I'm going to make sure in the moment I'm doing everything I possibly can to make that person understand the love of God. But I'm not going to try and work out the consequences. I think if you begin to embrace some of those things, you'll start to step out in obedience in a much greater way. I mentioned this a couple of weeks ago, and I'll finish with this thought. In all of this, it's all about becoming a believing believer. Do you believe what you believe? Let's all stand, shall we? And the worship team, do you want to come up? We're going to move into a time of song worship, time to respond. In the midst of that, we're going to celebrate communion. The children will come back in. They'll be a part of that with us as well. So let's just use this time. There's the Use Me Please Me pods, creative expression stuff. If you want to get involved in that, then there's a few around about. If you want to draw, write. We'll have a time to listen to God a little bit later. If you want to share, draw something, write something, then please look out for the Use Me Please pods that are around about the building. Okay? Thanks, John.
Higher than the mountain. Let's just continue to experience the love of God as His Holy Spirit falls in this place. Let's allow ourselves to embrace the love of God. So welcome in this place, Lord God.
Jesus reigns on high in all the earth. Yet Jesus, you are worthy. Who can shine?
To you, and I'm going to ask the guys to carry on playing in a minute or two, particularly just want Ugo to play out in a minute or two, if that's all right.